Morning, everybody.
Morning.
See, I do like to hear that I'm. Thank you, David. Reminding me to take the sucker off. All right. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. This morning we're going to be reading from John 20, the fourth gospel. And it's verses 19 through the end of the chapter, 31. Well, and just as a reminder, last week we read about Mary running into Jesus, resurrected in the garden. This is immediately after that. It says, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so they may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. So we call him Doubting Thomas, the disciple who walked with Jesus for 3 years before his crucifixion and resurrection. We call him Doubting Thomas because he refused to believe the story that the other disciples were telling him about how they saw Jesus show up in a new body and apparently walking through walls, appearing in the midst of them, even though the doors of the house were locked. We call him Doubting Thomas, even though it doesn't sound like he was really different from any of the other disciples. All the 12, like the women disciples, like Mary Magdalene, and even that Johnny-come-lately Paul of Tarsus, they all saw Jesus. They all witnessed the resurrection. So what made Thomas different? What made him a doubter? Though John doesn't say it directly, it's clear that the other disciples also didn't believe the good news when they first heard it. In the passage just before our reading this morning, Mary Magdalene encounters Jesus in the garden. And she comes back and it says that she went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." But when we pick up in our reading this morning, later that evening, what are the disciples doing? They're hiding in a locked house in fear. It stands to reason they didn't believe either. That isn't the kind of fear you associate when you believe in the resurrection. We call him Doubting Thomas. But it's not clear that Thomas was any more of a doubter than his brothers. So why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Maybe it's because Thomas had the guts to say what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
he said aloud what all the disciples thought when Mary came and told them. He said what any reasonable person would feel on hearing that kind of news. Any reasonable person would say, I'm not believing something so totally outside of my experience. And we might say today, something so totally unscientific. I'm not going to believe that without seeing it for myself. So Thomas wasn't a paragon of doubt. He just had common sense and was honest about it. So what makes Thomas a friend of Jesus isn't his belief or disbelief when he first hears the good news secondhand. Thomas shows himself a friend of Jesus in how he responds when Jesus does show up. And when Jesus shows him the wounds in his hands and in his side, he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas knew who Jesus was when he saw him. He recognizes his relationship to the friend and teacher in a way that he never quite grasped before the resurrection. Right? I don't think he called him my Lord and my God before the resurrection, right? But there he is, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, holding out his hands and saying, touch my wounds, touch my side. And Jesus also says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. There is a blessing for those who believe based on the testimony of others. There's a blessing for those who receive the evidence of the resurrection in their hearts through the presence of the Holy Spirit, even though they haven't seen with their eyes, even though they have not had ecstatic visions and encounters. We are blessed when we grab hold of the resurrection life based on the witness of those who have seen and who can testify to us, the gospel writers, the apostles, even those today who have seen the Lord with their own eyes. But for those of us who are like the first disciples, for those of us who are like the apostle Paul and need to be knocked off our horse, for those of us who like Thomas and need to see Jesus and touch his hands and his side, for all of us who call on the name of Jesus, he's available to us. He's promised to be present with us, sending the Holy Spirit to draw us to him. Jesus promises that we can know, yes, through the testimony of others, yes, because others have said, I've seen the Lord, but also through our own experience. We can know through our own experience that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that he is our Lord and our God. The scriptures are useful. The Bible's a good thing. We need it. And John explains in our gospel reading this morning why they were written. He says, these texts were written so that we may come to believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, we may have life in his name. These words, these stories, this written testimony is a witness to us that the resurrection is real and that we should keep our eyes out for Jesus. These words are Mary to us. These words are the disciples to us. These words are Paul to us. They are the members of this church who aren't with us physically anymore, but they're telling us we've seen the Lord. And we need those words of encouragement. We need people telling us we have seen the Lord, because you find what you're looking for. And without y'all, without the people who have written down these words in these books, without the church, we don't even know what we're looking for. But because you've told me I've seen the Lord, because Paul's told me I've seen the Lord, I know what to look for. I know to keep my eyes peeled for when Jesus shows up. And so when we do find Jesus along the road or out in the field or in the workplace or back home, when we do find Jesus, we'll remember the words of Mary Magdalene, "I've seen the Lord." We'll remember the words of the apostles. And we'll say together with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." You know, Easter was last week, but for me, it's still Easter. He is risen. Jesus Christ is alive. He's passed into the realm of the dead, and he's returned, conquering death and the devil. He stands triumphant in our midst. He's alive. And because he lives, we can live in him. So do you still need evidence? Ask. And you'll find what you're looking for. Seek and you'll find it. Jesus has promised us this. But for all of us, for those of us who have seen and touched and tasted, and for those of us who still aren't sure, we're blessed when we trust the testimony of the saints who have come before us. The voices of Mary and the 12 and Paul and the early Quakers. We're blessed when we allow the witness of the community to carry us in our doubts. We are blessed when we make space for the Holy Spirit to move in the words of Scripture. Because when we ask, we will receive. When we seek, we will find. And like Thomas, when we call out to Jesus, he will give us the assurance we need to trust and follow him. Because he is risen.